We live in a time that is very concerning as far as what our culture, our society, offers to us. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Indeed, if you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Cultural madness or chaos and controversy have erupted in the United States for the last several years. This has been developing, though, for generations. The prophet Hosea writes in chapter 8 and verse 7, "They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud, but it shall never produce meal. If it should produce, aliens would swallow it up." And Paul tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." We have to address the evils that head on through biblical lens. We have to look at the world through what the Bible tells us. That's what Jesus did. In Matthew 15, he exposed the hypocrisy of the Jews. In Matthew 22, he rebuked the political extremism of the day. And in John chapter 8 and verse 11, he taught mercifully about sexual purity. And the apostles did the same thing. They corrected cultural injustices. James 2 talked about skepticism, Acts 14, and immoralities in 1 Corinthians 6. You and I have got to learn to stand against the chaos in our present world. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse 13. There's a writer from, his name is Gary Hammack, and he wrote in, or he preaches at Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, and he wrote an article 6/14 of 2023, just last month, and he titled it "The Transing of America." He noted America has crossed over from what we once were to what we are now, a culture in chaos. There is gender confusion, or as the Bible would call it, as we look through the lens of the Bible, sexual perversion. We look at today and there's no longer male and female, but we have the LGBTQIA+. In other words, a woke agenda. We must give a biblical response to the same. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Now, what I'm talking about is not a call to hate or to harm anyone. We don't hate anyone, nor do we want to harm anyone. But instead, we need to look to God for our help. Galatians 4 and verse 16. So the first thing we want to look at is when a society rejects and removes and replaces God, we are in trouble. A lengthy passage that I want to read to you is Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professed to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. People throughout the generations, throughout history, and even in our modern times have looked for God in other places and wanted to make God in their own image. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He goes on and he says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped the served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. This is looking at sin, the vile nature of sin today, through the lens of what the Apostle Paul wrote as an inspired writer of God's Word. The Bible predicted and explains the condition and outcome of such societies that we may be living in now. Paul here says that God gives them up or gives them over to the madness, to serve uncleanness, that is the lie. That's what we noticed in verses 24 and 25 of Romans 1. And then in verses 26 and 27, he says God gave them up to serve vile passions, to debased or depraved thinking and conduct, the same passage. People become deceived and delusional. That's what Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 11. Things like same-sex marriage, transgenderism, and the list goes on. And even back in the Old Testament, Isaiah talked about such things as this in Isaiah 5, verses 20 through 23. The lie, according to society today, becomes the truth, and then truth becomes marginalized. It unleashes the demonic side of our nature, our culture. Paul speaks of this in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, and Ephesians 6, verse 12. And demons begin to change their pronouns. Such societies are depraved, they are deceived, they are delusional, and they are demonic. What we need to understand is the devil is behind this blind madness. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. So the million-dollar question is this: what can we do as children of God in a vile, corrupt, chaotic world that we live in? What can we do? The psalmist says in Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now let me suggest to you, first of all, we live holy lives. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. The book of Leviticus, the theme of that book is God is holy, and we are to live holy because God is holy. We are to live holy lives, no matter how vile or corrupt our society, our culture may become. In Deuteronomy 6, we see that we are to build homes that are healthy. The Bible speaks there. Moses writes there that we're to teach our children from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to bed at night, to let the Word of God be as frontlets between our eyes, to write God's Word, His statutes, His laws, His judgments as on the doorpost of our homes. One thing that American homes are no longer doing are praying together. We no longer talk about the Bible and no longer make application from what the Bible says. Parents, we have got to be gatekeepers and watchmen, educators and disciplinarians. We've got to know the business, if you will, of our children. On average, the screen time for an 8 to 12 year old child is 5 hours a day. 13 to 7 year olds is 8 hours a day. We are losing the influence as parents and grandparents to the devices that feed lies into the minds of our children. We have to fight for our children against this old wicked world, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. The National Center for Health Statistics is most concerned about, there, it said that we should be most concerned due to rising suicide rates among middle school girls. Parents, we've got to know what's going on in the lives of our children. And finally, we've got to take a strong stance for our faith, 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. Don't give in to the culture. Don't give in. Don't affirm the delusion. Don't give in to the pronouns that the world says we have to use today. Don't love the lie that is being broadcast through society. The Bible truth that answers cultural lies. God's word is truth and the standard of all that is right and wrong. John 17. God designed us as male and female. Genesis 1. God designed each person with beauty and purpose, being fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139. God designed sex within the confines of marriage between a man and a woman. Genesis 1 and verse 28. God designed all races with equal value and worth, Acts 17. And God loves all, and Jesus died for every one of us, for everyone who would call on the name of the Lord, Romans 10. Now, I agree, I understand you may not like this lesson, but sometimes the truth hurts. People, we live in a very corrupt society right now. We live in a time where you have to go along to get along in order to keep from hurting people's feelings. But if we look at God's word, the truth is going to hurt. Now, my question for you is, have you called upon the name of the Lord as they did in Acts 2? Are you living by faith, a faith that's willing to endure the chaos of this world, the madness of this world, in order to receive the reward of heaven? As I said, you may not like this lesson, and I'm sorry that you don't. No, I take that back. The truth should hurt. The truth is what it is, and we have to let the chips fall where they may. But if you disagree with this lesson, I would be more than glad to sit down and talk with you. You can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. Or if you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to the church's website, that's church@eastside.com, and listen to this lesson again or any other lesson that we have listed on the website there. If you want to disagree with me or argue with me, the same email, djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. And I look forward to hearing from any of you that would like to talk to me about this lesson. And I look forward to being with you next Sunday morning. Thank you very much.